Hey, good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. If you look on the front of your bulletin, there's a great picture on the front, and underneath there, there's a question that says, is this the Messiah? The answer is no. It's just FYI. I want to make sure that was clear this morning. I did not plan that. I appreciate RJ's introduction. We are blessed as a community, amen? If you were not here last night for the Christmas show, I've had the pleasure of just sitting in the audience and enjoying it last night. It was unbelievable. It was really good, yeah. For everyone who was involved, thank you so much. I even commented Bill Graham this morning. I said, Bill, the cars were parked perfectly in a line, man. Good job parking cars last night. And so it takes a lot of folks to actually put a production like that on. If you get an opportunity, go find someone at lunch and invite them. Let's pack this place tonight. That would be awesome. All right, we're going to go to the Word of God here this morning. And the title of the message is This the Messiah? But let's start, let's pray, and then we'll continue. Father, you are good to us, Lord God. Father, we love you so much, Lord God. I give you thanks, Lord God, for all the good things you are up to. Lord God, you're up to stuff, even with inside our body. I give you thanks for the Christmas show last night. I give you thanks, Lord God, for an opportunity to minister to children, to folks in our community. Lord God, we want to see the kingdom of heaven on earth. That is the best answer, Lord God, for a broken world is the kingdom of heaven on earth. So, Lord, have your way with us. Bless us this morning in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Amen. Why don't you turn in your Bibles this morning? We're going to go to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, to a very familiar passage, I think, for most of us. We're going to look at the three wise men, the three wise guys, the three kings, and this story that unfolds in the Nativity. When I was a kid growing up, I grew up in a Lutheran church over near Taylor, Texas. My folks still attend there. We got to be in the Nativity as little kids, and you kind of worked your way up into the Nativity kind of scene, right? You started out as like a goat. They had a mask. You're a goat or a cow or a sheep, right? I mean, you just stood there. This was like entry-level stuff. Your job was to stand there and act like you were chewing the cud. All right? As you progressed in the Nativity, the older kids got to be shepherds. Shepherds were entrusted with very dangerous objects, shepherd staffs. And kids got quickly demoted back to cattle when they used their shepherd staff to beat each other, right? And so as you got older, you got to be a shepherd. If you were one of the cool kids, there was only three of them. You got to be one of the wise men. Look out. And they had the best looking outfits. And they came in kind of late on the scene, walking down the main aisle of the church on the Nativity. We're the wise men. Look, check out the gifts. Bang, right? And so it was really cool to get to be, when I graduated to be a wise man, I thought I had arrived. And God bless the poor kid whose mom was actually running the program, because he ended up being Joseph, and we just poked fun at him. You're married to Mary. You're married to Mary. So that was my experience with the wise men. I hope that didn't scar you. but I want to go actually through Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 12. Let's read this together. Okay? Bless you. Mine's titled, The Visit of the Magi. All right, starting in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophets had written. But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least of the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. This is where you say, yeah, right. Verse 9, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Why don't you jump to the next slide, Jody? We do not know exactly what the event was that caught these magi's attention that were coming from the east. This is just a normal picture on a regular night, right? And I don't know if you've ever had these moments. Sometimes we get a moment, we get to go out, we go camping, you get away from the city lights, and you look at the stars. You're just like, that is amazing. Look how many stars there are. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. We don't get an opportunity to enjoy that much anymore, right? And you're kind of out there, you're enjoying the stars. You see a shooting star. Wow, that was cool. Make a wish, right? Awesome stuff. And the Magi would look at that, and you know what they'd say? This is a Tuesday night. Whatever, dude, right? They grew up with the stars. They stared at the stars constantly. They did not have DVRs. They had stars, right? Right? Before Dancing with the Stars, there was stars, real stars, okay? And so they enjoyed the night sky. So whatever it is that had to have captured these guys' attention had to have been good. Let's go to the next one, Jody. Let's take a look at this. That's pretty interesting, okay? I've actually got my notes here. This is an image of what they're calling the Ant Nebula. Can you see the ant? Right? There's the abdomen in the middle, right? And he's got his legs going out. Okay, that star is very similar to our star, to our sun. But it's beginning to explode. And scientists don't exactly know why the formation is this way. Typically, when stars explode, they explode straight out. And this one's in this form. And so there's been lots of interesting kind of discussions about why it's happening. This science does not understand it. Let's go look at the next one. This is kind of a typical exploding star, right? The star is actually exploding, similar again to our sun. And as the stars age and they reach the end of their life, they explode. And they do these amazing things in the night sky. These images were captured by the Hubble Space Telescope. And these stars actually exploded thousands of years ago. And the images are just coming to us. And Hubble was amazing to think that here all of a sudden we can capture these images of our universe and how beautiful they actually are. And in science, for the first time, kind of went, whoa, this is pretty cool. It had to have been a cool moment to capture the Magi's attention. Yes? What God did up there in the sky was pretty amazing. And I love that God, even today, folks, he moves in signs and wonders. He moves in signs and wonders. The heavenly event that happened, we're not too sure, but the capture these wise guys' attention that we read about in the story. And so the Bible doesn't tell us a lot about the wise men. So what we have kind of learned is through history and through culture. There's not a lot of facts, so look at some of the conclusions that actually history and archaeology has actually uncovered about the wise men. So here's some things they believe. Some scholars believe that the wise men were likely from the Babylonian or Persian Empire, who knew of the prophecies actually of the Old Testament. So if you kind of before Matthew, there's all that Old Testament stuff. Likely these guys may have known some of the prophecies of the Old Testament because those nations conquered the Jewish nation. And the Jewish nation, with their teachings and their writings, actually got infused into the Babylonian and into the Persian empires. And so they may have actually had access to things such as Numbers 24:17, which says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. And when we hear star, we kind of go to dancing the stars. No, actually, it is a heavenly body. There will be something that appears in the sky that's going to foretell us of this coming Messiah. Those are things that may have gotten these wise guys' attention, and they go, whoa, check out that thing. That's new. That's different. We better go figure out what's going on. The wise men likely traveled in a large number with a large number of attendees and guards. There was only room for three actually up at the front of the church when we do the nativity, so we kind of take three up there. But these guys likely had a lot of money. They actually were probably well-to-do, so they probably had a lot of attendees and a lot of guards and a lot of people that they traveled with. If you go to the next slide, taking a look at this is kind of a modern-day map of the Middle East. And so many scholars believed that the wise men actually originated their journey somewhere down in present-day Yemen. Somewhere down in present-day Yemen. Towards the top there, you can kind of see where I've kind of identified where Bethlehem is. Bethlehem currently today is the same place where it's been for thousands of years. That's pretty amazing, right? And so here's Yemen. And so if you would go from Yemen up to Bethlehem, that's about 800 to 850 miles. My wife and I are about to make a 900-mile journey on an interstate with our two kids to go see family in Kentucky. Pray for us. Just mainly because having two boys that are 4 and 8 years old locked into a seatbelt for that for 10 hours is concerning, right? You let that seat go, they just pop out of the seat and they just go, right? So it's amazing to think that this journey actually would likely have taken them 7 to 8 weeks. 7 to 8 weeks. They likely followed the trade routes, which would have taken them near the Red Sea. The Red Sea is what separates Saudi Arabia from Sudan and Egypt. You didn't know you were getting a geography lesson, did you? Sorry. But they probably traveled close to there and came up and then into the nation of Israel. Okay? Very dangerous journey. In the Arabian Desert, there are likely people that will come down and mug you. There's pirates that'll come out of the hills to attack you. You could run into a random army. That was never a good idea. But sometimes these guys would be wandering out. So it's a very dangerous journey. The wise men didn't arrive when Jesus was an infant, scholars believe. It actually, because of the journey, because of when the star appears, he was probably a little older, right? They arrived sometime late. That just doesn't fit in the nativity scene at all. That's why we got to get those three wise guys up on the front. But it's very interesting because they're following the star through this entire journey. Long journey. Whoa, look at the star. Something's going down. We got to go check it out. They start heading to Bethlehem. They're staying on the major trade routes. They enter the nation of Israel. And instead of actually following their actual GPS, they had a star. Instead of following the actual star, they go to, where would you find a king? Where's the most logical place you would find a king? The capital, right? If you're gonna look for the head of the United States, where are you going? Washington, D.C. They went to Jerusalem. We're at in Jerusalem. Well, they actually went to the palace. Who'd they go talk to? Well, the current king, right? That's just logic. I mean, even though your GPS is saying, why don't you take the Bethlehem exit off the interstate, go here, recalculating. No. There's no way that's right. Well, let's go to Jerusalem. We'll figure out what's going on there. These are wise guys. They're smarter than the GPS. I'm smarter than the GPS. Never mind. Yeah, pray for us on that trip. So they approached King Herod. Don't know if you know about King Herod. King Herod is one bad dude. Here's some things history has taught us about King Herod. Herod was appointed by the Roman government to rule over Israel and Judah. Herod was a Jew and was likely appointed by the Roman government at Herod's petition. So Herod probably went to the Roman government and said, hey, why don't you give me this gig? I'm pretty qualified. How do you going to be qualified? I'll keep the peace in the country. I'll make sure there's no uprisings, but I'm going to collect for you a whole lot of taxes. The Roman government was bent on trying to conquer the world at the time. They were an expanding, very powerful empire. And Herod probably came in and said, you know what? I'll take care of all these folks here. I'll keep them just happy enough and get you guys a lot of money in the deal. hired, right? My goodness, hired. Herod was incredibly, incredibly ruthless. History tells us that he murdered his own wife, several of his sons, and some of the relatives. Herod built many theaters, he built cities, he built palaces and fortresses. One of his key building projects was actually the Holy Temple. The guy had an ego problem. Every brick in the Holy Temple had his seal on it. That's when you just got issues. But he really turned this temple into like a tax collection and into like a money laundering scheme. In order to come into the temple, you had to buy all these things. You're supposed to give an offering of a sacrificial goat. Well, we got a goat for sale out here in the foyer. We should sell goats in the foyer. And you know, in order to do your sacrifice, why don't you buy that goat? It's great. It's got the Mickey Mouse ears. It's really cool. And it's got a stamp for Herod right there. It's an official sacrificial goat. $9.95. Okay? And so they would actually purchase these things to go in and make their sacrifices. This is the same temple that Jesus walks into as an adult and overturns the tables and says, this place is a den of robbers, right? And that's kind of why we see Jesus lose his cool. And we don't see that very often in the New Testament, right? But there's this outlash of Jesus in saying, this is my Father's house, and this is not what this was designed for. Herod's response, we look at in verse 3, is he was troubled. Uh-oh, there's a king. Uh-oh, I got a pretty good gig going. And all Jerusalem with him. So the arrival of this true king presents a threat to Herod. And Israel's kind of corrupt and political system that he's defined. In verse 8, so his response is to lie to the wise men. We knew that king was coming. Why don't you go find him so I can go and worship that guy, right? So he's actually up to some weird stuff. In verse 9, we see the wise men turn back to their original GPS. Good job, guys. They locate the star, and they go after to find Jesus. They offer their treasures to a young Jesus and his mother. And in verse 12, we see God move again in dreams. And he tells these wise men, you know what? That dude's bad. Why don't you guys head home a different way? The question in my mind is this the Messiah? And Jesus, even as in his infancy, is causing earthly realms and earthly things to shake. He's causing the establishment to shake a little bit. Herod's concerned. These kings from a different culture, from a different place, see this Messiah. Is this the Messiah? Is this the one we foretold? So who is this Messiah? Well, if you look in Jeremiah 23:5, it says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is right and just in the land. That sounds pretty cool. Amen? We need that one right now. Amen? How about Micah 5:2? But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient of times. He's saying the eternalness of God is going to come out of Bethlehem. That's pretty amazing. And Isaiah 9:6-7, this one's my favorite. For to us a child is born. Back up. This is 700 roughly years before Jesus is born. This is amazing. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish it. Woe, if this stuff's coming to pass, we see that star, it looks like things are going down. Is this the Messiah? We've got some bad stuff happening in the world today. These are probably the wise men talking. We don't know how to deal with government. We don't know how to deal with all these social issues that we're dealing with. Let's go see if he's the one, because we need him. We need him. Do we need him now, church? We need him now. These ancient writings were about the promise of the Messiah. And the characters in the story, the wise men, the evil king Herod, they had to deal with this question. Is this the Messiah? Is this God incarnate? Is this actually God in the flesh? That question must be dealt with by every single one of us. That question must be dealt with by every single one of us. No one will be exempt from this question. Is this the Messiah? Is this Jesus Christ come to save us? The wise men's response, let's go. We got to find the truth. We got to go. Pack it up. We're going to miss the opening season of CSI Babylon, but we got to go. Set the DVR. We got to go. We got to go. Pack up. Get the guys. Let's go. Pack up the camels. Let's go. We got to go. It was an expensive, dangerous, time-consuming journey. These guys had plenty of things to do, but they packed it up and they went. What's Herod's response? Uh-oh. He's going to want my money. He's going to want my 401k. He's going to want my career. I got a pretty good thing going here in this church thing. And I think this guy could come upset the balance. I got this church thing figured out. The last thing we need is to figure out if this really is the Messiah. Let's keep just building the temple. Let's just keep the people happy just enough so we can make some money. And build more marketing programs, and put more seals, and build more temples, and build more cities. That'll take care of those folks. We learn some amazing truths. And I have to tell you, here's the most wonderful news of all. To answer this question, yes, to answer this question, yes, is to unleash some amazing truths in your own personal life. To actually say, this is the Messiah. I surrender, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much. This is the Messiah. Is life-giving. It will never be life-taking. It will be life-giving. It will never be life-taking. Don't believe a lie the culture has told us. What we learned from the wise men, Miss Jody. Oh, that was a cute slide, but let's go to the next one. Thank you. Pursue the truth, absolute truth, not cultural truth. Pursue the truth. Please pursue the truth. The truth is found in the Word of God. I was convicted by the Lord actually earlier this year to just read the Bible straight through. Genesis 1:1, let's go. Am I done? No. I'm somewhere in Psalms. I could tell you this, reading it now, again, it just is amazing how much a broken world needs a Savior. And how often God makes a promise to say, I'm going to do it. I am going to do it. It's going to happen. You can take it to the bank. Number two, don't count the cost. Don't count the cost. Let me ask you a question. If the church loses its 501c status and you can't do a tax write-off, are you going to give the same? It shouldn't matter. Some of us will count the cost on Sunday mornings and how much gas we consume getting to the building. We can't do it, church. Don't count the cost. He is worth it. He is worth it. He is worth missing NFL pregame. I promise. It's not that good. Those commentators are overpaid. Right? Boy, that's for sure. I can commentate. I guarantee you that. Third one, the journey is so worth it. My gosh, we've got the answer for a nation that is screaming out in brokenness right now. We've got it. He is here. He is among us. Where two or three are gathered, the Spirit of the Lord reigns. And he can redeem. He is looking to seek the lost, heal the lame. Look, David, I've been to prison. Don't care. He loves you, and he's looking to redeem you. He's looking to, I'm broken. I am broken. Praise God. He's here for you. That is what he's looking to do. Don't clean up and go to church. Go to church. He'll work with you. What did we learn from King Herod? Number one, God's going to challenge your establishment. He's challenged mine. He has challenged mine. I work full-time for a major manufacturer of computers on the north end of town. So if you need a Christmas deal, let me know. We'd love to sell you a computer or a tablet, Windows 8. But 7-8 years ago, I was a little too caught up in my career. I had an executive that was saying, hey, we're going to put you on this executive fast track. The company was doing very well, expanding. I was like, oh, that's cool. Let's do this. A lot of things actually fell through where that didn't happen. So I'm just a regular old guy. Trust me, I'm pretty low on the totem pole there. But I can tell you this. You know what? At the time, I was kind of disappointed. But thank God that didn't happen, because that has enabled me to do some amazing things with the youth today. That has blessed me more than anything that company could do for me. All right? And I am very happy to work there. They're good folks. And if you need a computer, seriously, talk to me. The next one, earthly logic can blind us. Can you hear me, church? Earthly logic's going to blind you. I was talking to Earl this morning, and I have to tell you, Friday afternoon, I felt like the school was the most dangerous place on earth. And still, statistically, it's one of the safest places. But it sure doesn't feel that way. Sure doesn't feel that way as I'm watching all the Twitter feeds and the live streaming video while I'm working of what's going down, and it is causing me to tremble. It's causing me to tremble. I can tell you, don't believe it. I'm not denying the incident. I'm not denying the power of evil that is in this country. I'm telling you, we will rely on the Lord to defeat it. Number three, deception is a killer. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. That's from Proverbs. I didn't think that up. But you know what? In the spirit of keeping the peace, sometimes we can deceive ourselves. Deception is a killer. You know what? Deception is, don't lie to your parents, kids. Right? Don't lie. I caught Jack this morning. My two sons, Jack hit Ethan with the Wii remote. I know it happened. Jack, come here. Yes, sir. Did you hit your brother with the Wii remote? No. Jack, did you hit your brother? No. Daddy, look at this. No, don't distract me. Did you hit your brother with the Wii remote? Yes. Time out. Ooh! Right. Don't believe that deception. Don't try to iron things. Just the truth will set us free. Believe in the truth. I want to go back to Isaiah 9:6 for just a second, and I want to wrap this up. This is one of my favorite verses for Christmas. For to us is born, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. Do we need some counseling today, church? Do we need some counselors, some wonderful counselors in Connecticut? Earlier this year, it was in a movie theater. We needed some counselors for Leander ISD as they dealt with their own tragedy within the band. We need Wonderful Counselor. We need Jesus. Mighty God, evil will scare us. We need one who is stronger. God is mighty. He is mighty. He is eternal. He can tear it down. Nothing will stand against him. Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. I want to talk to you a little something about Everlasting Father, because when Earl and I talked earlier this morning, this is something that just kind of came to my mind as something that we just really need. When you look at these things that are happening today, honestly, they're pretty superficial issues. They're painful. But when events like Friday happened, and I had to turn off Facebook, I got sick and tired of the gun, anti-gun, more metal detectors list of things the government should be doing. It made me sick. One, can we just grieve? Two, it's a surface issue. I'll tell you why we need an everlasting Father. Today, 63% of the youth that commit suicide are from homes without a dad. 71% of all pregnant teens come from homes without a dad. 90% of all the homeless and runaway children come from homes without a dad. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions come from homes without a dad. 85% of all children that exhibit behavioral disorders come from homes without a dad. And when we see this behavioral disorder, we go, medicate them. And I say, give them a dad. Amen. Give them a dad. I get all worked up. As a youth pastor, I've just seen so many of our kids come through, and I am blessed and blown away by watching God heal them. And it really doesn't matter how good the home was. I've seen some kids from some really excellent homes go off and run away from the Lord. I've seen kids who have faced tragedy, who clung to their Heavenly Father, claim victory in this life. And it just comes down to this question. Is this the Messiah? Is this the healing one? Is this our everlasting Father? Is this our everlasting Father? We all want to cling to a dad. I got to tell you, church, what we need in America today is a healing of fathers. That's one. We need the establishment of families again in our culture. You cannot teach and regulate these things. I grew up and there was guns all over the cotton picket place at school. It was ridiculous. I was out in Hutto, gun racks everywhere. It was ridiculous. And I'm not telling you, well, let's just get rid of, I'm not saying anything about the politics of guns or anti-guns. I am saying this. The answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. Band, would you come? I tried to give RJ a weekend off, and it didn't happen because he had to fill in with the band this weekend because I picked a weekend that his son was actually working. Michael DeGone is actually working today till 4, and then he's got to drive home from Temple, and he's going to do the Christmas thing tonight. We've got a lot of people that have sacrificed a lot to make this thing happen, right? And here's why we sacrifice to make this thing happen. We don't want believers' fellowship to expand. We want the kingdom of heaven to expand. We don't want our Christmas show to hit the road, to sell CDs, to do all these things, to be marketed. We want to see Jesus proclaimed and worshiped. We don't want to build a youth program for the sake of building a youth program so we can have 300 kids here and just say, look how big and cool we are. We want kids to come to know and love Jesus so that they can grow up to be good dads and good moms, so that they can grow up in purity. Amen? So that they can reclaim the gift of marriage. It's a gift. So that we can teach them these things and show them these things, not because we're doing it right, but because He is good. He's good. He's absolutely good. Here's a very practical, I talk too much at work too. Sorry about that. But I wanted, it's like you got to give them some practical things to do, right? What's the practical thing we're going to go do in the name of Jesus? Yay! Okay, here's your practical thing to go do. You ready? 6:30 on Wednesday night, starting in the new year, we are going to have a men's Bible study. There's going to be some more stuff. Do the ladies already meet on Wednesday nights? We've got a ladies' Bible study on Wednesday nights at 6:30. By the way, I've got youth group with Audra here at 6:30 on Wednesday nights. We have Kids Rock that meets 6:30 on Wednesday nights. Bring your family. Are you detecting a trend? Bring your family. Don't drop your kids off at youth and leave. Drop your kids off at youth. Go pray. We got it. We got to go get them, church. We got to go get them. I want our schools to lift the name of Jesus again. Not because we're going to mandate it into law, but because the kids walk in singing. They're going to walk in singing, Jesus is the King. He's my Father. He's the Prince of Peace. And we're going to continue to have trouble in this world because Jesus says so. Until he comes back, we are going to have trouble in this world. But with him, we defeat it. With him, we defeat it.